Well, welcome, Joan. It's been actually a couple of weeks since we saw you last. No, you were away on...
Well, last week was Thanksgiving, and then I was unable to come in at that time frame, and when I could come in, no one was available here because of assignments. So anyway, here we are, and what I cannot believe, it's December. I mean, we are already in the month of December.
And
Advent
sure
has started.
And it's been a really busy week. In fact, I don't think we're going to be able to get it all in this week.
Well, no, it is one of those weeks when, for example, the Pontifical Academies have met. There was news about a Chinese bishop, a bishop being ordained in China with the Holy Father's approval. The Pontifical Council for the Family met. So we just don't ever have that kind of time on this show to cover six, seven, eight, nine stories in a week. But it was a busy week, as it really is at this time of year. And the only one thing I'd like to kind of mention at the start, it was took place a week ago, but the American bishops are in Rome on their ad limina 2011. They'll be here also in 2012. An ad limina is normally every 5 years. They've not been here since 2004, so this is very interesting. And obviously in 2005, with the death of John Paul, the advent of the pontificate of Benedict, so many things got kind of changed around on the calendar. The Pope did meet with, he's meeting with every third group, speaking to every third group of bishops, and there will be...
Right, because they're coming
in regions.
Groups.
Yes, there's 13
exactly.
regions. Mm-hmm. And so another region arrived midweek this week, but he met with the New York region and spoke to them. And, of course, one of the reasons he met with them was in the New York State, which is a whole region, was Archbishop Dolan, Timothy Dolan of New York City, of New York Diocese, who is the president of the Bishops' Conference. And the Pope covered quite a number of issues. Obviously, we're not going to look at those in depth, but he did talk about his trip to the U.S., sex abuse cases and the handling, continual handling of that, Catholic education, new evangelization, the new translation of the Roman Missal, which, by the way, of course, went into effect on the first Sunday. For Americans, it did. I think it's been in use in the U.K. For some time, the new Roman Missal. And the Pope also highlighted the need for the Church to continue making her voice heard in the public square, especially in view of highly secularized society. But one of the more telling statements of what he told the American bishops, because the bishops themselves have told me this, was when the Pope was talking about the handling over all these years of the sex abuse cases and said he hoped the Church efforts to face this reality will help the broader community to recognize the causes and true extent. But what he said and really stuck out in everybody's mind was, by the same token, because he's talking about the Catholic Church, he said, just as the Church is rightly held to exacting standards in this regard, all other institutions without exception should be held to the same standard. So obviously many, many public institutions, and oddly enough, if you look at real statistics, you see that more sex abuse cases happen in families than anywhere else. So on that note, I just wanted to mentioned because the ad limina, the bishops and the Pope's speech, and obviously Archbishop Dolan addressed the Pope for the bishops. So he will address every third group, but meet with every group, but not individually. This is something that I think has been the norm here in the Vatican now for the past 2 years, where the Pope used to meet John Paul, certainly always did, and Benedict in the beginning. They would meet the bishops, so you'd have 15 bishops from one region or a country or something coming to visit. And the Pope would meet with each individual bishop one-on-one for like a 10-minute period. Then he would meet with that region or that country for a longer time and give a speech. And with Pope Benedict, just to save his energies and make his schedule available for other things, he has eliminated the one-on-one meetings with the bishops. And we've seen that when other countries have come and so forth.
Right. So let's go take a look back at Monday when Pope Benedict met with the Lebanese prime minister in the Vatican.
Certainly a highlight of the week, which is really our job, of course, in the show, is with so many things to say, we really have to highlight a few things. Yes, he did receive Lebanon's prime minister, Najib Najib Mikati, and obviously the Holy See, as it always does, issued a communique on the discussions highlighting the role Lebanon plays in the region and in the entire world, and its vocation to offer a message of freedom and respectful coexistence among the various Christians and Muslim communities who live there, as you and I both know from firsthand experience. That is an extraordinarily complex mosaic of religions, social and political identities. But anyway, the communique from the Holy See did highlight the reference turning to situations in the Middle East in general, highlighted with special reference the delicate situation in Syria. And just as the Vatican always does, it spoke of the need for parties, all parties, whatever your name is for your party, to commit themselves to peaceful coexistence founded on justice, reconciliation, and respect for the dignity of human beings and their inalienable rights. And then what's very interesting is that we had confirmation from several quarters that the Prime Minister did invite the Pope to Lebanon. And actually,
well, I actually was speaking with him, the Prime Minister, before he saw Pope Benedict. I met with him on Sunday for an interview here in Rome, and he did say, he was revealing a secret on Vatican Radio, that he was going to invite the Pope to come visit Lebanon.
And this
on
follows,
behalf of the president of Lebanon.
It would be a very good occasion if you want to look for a reason for a visit other than that of visiting the Catholic community. It would be a very good occasion for the Holy Father to present the apostolic exhortation of the synod held in the Vatican October 2010 on the Middle East. So that would be a very good reason for him to say yes to and plan on such a trip. So, highlight of the early part of the week.
Well, then let's go on to the audience on Wednesday, the general audience here, where the Pope made an appeal for an end to the death penalty around the world.
Well, that was very, very interesting because he greeted delegations from various countries taking part in a meeting. I believe it was the sixth such meeting promoted by the community of Sant'Egidio on the theme, No Justice Without Life. And there was going to be this meeting in Rome. And then I have forgotten what night it happened, one or two, maybe it was Wednesday night itself. At 7 p.m., the Colosseum was going to be all lit up. That was going to be like the concluding place for this meeting of people about the death penalty. And over the years here in Rome, the Colosseum, a lit-up Colosseum, has become a symbol of the death penalty. And I know for a long time, I think it was in the Jubilee year, if someone was spared the death penalty in a certain country, that particular night, the Colosseum would be lit up as a sign of solidarity, if you will. But the Pope did tell these delegations, he said, I express my hope that your deliberations will encourage the political and legislative initiatives being promoted in a growing number of countries to eliminate the death penalty and to continue the substantive progress made in conforming penal law both to the human dignity of prisoners and the effective maintenance of public order. And I might say, at least speaking for the United States, there was a very strong delegation from the state of Illinois, because Illinois has abolished, just this past year, it abolished the death penalty. So there was a very good number of Americans from Illinois, you know, representing their state and our country because of that matter. Can I just mention that there's kind of a notable appointment this week that took place this week that I think we should mention. There's an American priest who's been working for quite a number of years at the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, Monsignor Charlie Brown, and he was named by the Pope as the new ambassador to Ireland. Now, that's fascinating for many, many reasons. The primary reason would be that he has not gone through what's called the Ecclesiastical Academy, which is that office here in Rome that trains future Vatican diplomats. So, but the Pope knows him very well because there were years when Monsignor Brown worked at the congregation when the Pope was still there, Cardinal Ratzinger. And it's believed that, obviously because of his linguistic ability, sending him to Ireland, English being his native tongue. And one of the things that he worked on a great deal at the congregation, CDF, as we call it here in Rome, he did work on the sex abuse cases. So to send this Monsignor, an American speaking English background with the congregation, with these cases, Jesus, send him to Ireland seems like a very, very wise move on the part of the Holy Father. And I think the Holy Father also has to be aware of Monsignor Brown's innate diplomatic skills, not skills you can always learn in a school. So we wish him and Ireland a lot of good luck.
Okay, well, I'm afraid we've run out of time.
As always,
like usual. But it's been great to have you in studio again this week, Joan, and we look forward to seeing you again next week.
And a lot more news.
Okay, bye-bye.